Blog Talk Radio. We are not alone. And welcome to another episode of Contact Radio, featuring Leslie Mitchell Clark and co-host Wes Roberts, where we explore ufology and beyond with the help of the world's foremost experts. And without further ado, here's your host and your guide, Leslie Mitchell Clark.
Good evening, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in once again. We are airing tonight a pre-recording of Serge Grandlois and Chris that was originally intended for November the 8th. So, without further ado, and with lots of thanks to all of our sponsors, here goes. Enjoy.
We are not alone. And a very, very good evening to everyone. This is your host, Leslie Mitchell Clark, and I would love to welcome you to another edition of Contact. And joined, as always, with me is my co-host, Mr. Wes Roberts. Good evening, Wes. How are you doing?
Hey, Leslie. I'm doing well in true McKenzie Brothers fashion. How's it going, eh?
It's very good to see you in your corporeal form. You've been broadcasting from a remote, undisclosed location.
These past two weeks,
so it's good to see you up and around. Excellent.
Anyway, the only thing missing is the beer.
We are very, very proud and excited to welcome back to the program one of our very favorite guests, Mr. Serge Grandlois. And Serge is a renowned metaphysician. He is a full trance channeler. He is also the author of Chris Chronicles, A Field Guide to Dreams, Discourses on Dreams, Volume 1. And just a little bit more about Serge. According to the Colorado Seth Conference, Serge Grandlois is the exceptional channel for Chris, a compassionate and intelligent entity, or, if you prefer, energy personality gestalt, as Chris describes himself. And Serge is without a doubt one of the clearest vessels for non-physical communication in the world today. He has given a voice to Chris for more than 35 years, helping a wide variety of individuals from all walks of life, and we are certainly honored to have both Serge and Chris joining us for this evening's program. And on this episode, we're really excited because Chris is going to be answering questions that have been, I believe, developed in Serge Grandlois' insightful Chris Dream Group. And according to Serge, Chris himself is very excited to deliver and expound upon this new fascinating information. So without further ado, I would like to welcome back to the program our good friend, Mr. Serge Grandlois. Hey, Serge, how are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. And thank you for that almost epic introduction.
Well, I was in Los Angeles recently, so I'm still a little bit over the top. I'll try to be a little more Canadian in the future.
just add a few A after everything.
That's right. I'm sorry.
A.
Anyway, Chris, this is so wonderful to have you back on with us on the show, and I know that. You know, over the years that you've been channeling Chris, there are some issues about the questions that he answers. And you explained something very interesting to me. Perhaps you'd like to talk to our audience about how the questions for this evening were generated.
Over the years, of course, three decades at least, people ask Chris varieties of questions, and people come from all walks of life. And Chris has maintained very often that we're not necessarily asking the right questions, but he's not elaborated. So maybe we can get into a little bit of that later on. Mm-hmm. Now, as a result of that, my friend Ellen, who's kind of listened to Chris for years now, maybe 9, 10 years, wrote several questions and sent them over. We had a few discussions about these things in our groups, and Chris suggested that he would love to take a bite out of them and and see what comes out. So that's what, we set up this little get together with you guys in order to get Chris to answer some of these things and see where it takes us.
All right. Well, I actually, you were kind enough to send me some notes from your friend Ellen, who unfortunately is not able to join us on this evening's show, but hopefully she will at some time in the future. And just to quote Ellen, she said, I was thinking back when you used to say to our group that we weren't asking the right questions. And in the years since then, I think that the questions were along the lines of, who and what am I? What is my purpose? Where did I come from? And where am I going? Sounds like a Bob Fosse musical, doesn't it? Sorry. Anyway, over those years, you've assisted a lot in answering those questions. And again, this is Ellen speaking. Now I think we should be asking another set of questions in order to understand what is flow all about. And I wrote them down as they came to me. So I would guess that these questions are, in a sense, channeled to Ellen as well.
Ellen does a little bit of channeling on her own. And she's also worked with what I consider almost my daughter, though it's purely spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Emmy lives in Netherlands. And she also does a little bit of channeling on her own, and she's really, really a wonderful lady. And together, Ellen and Emmy worked for a few years uncovering all sorts of very fascinating past life connections, especially in relation to World War II and Nazi concentration camps. And I'm just dropping this by your ear so that maybe in the future you might like to invite both of them. I think it would be unbelievable.
Oh, marvelous. Yes, to discuss the past lives that they have explored, that would be fantastic. Please, when you do have a chance to speak with her, have Ellen get in touch, and we will absolutely book a date for her to appear in contact. That sounds like a great show, doesn't it, Wes?
I'd really like to go through that. It's just going to widen our horizons, right?
Yeah. Indeed, and the interesting thing about exploring, past lives that are not all that long ago is it's often possible to find corroborative evidence of these lifetimes. I have had more than one client who has been able to do that through their recollections under hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about all that stuff. That's fantastic.
Awesome.
All right. So Serge, is Chris chomping at the bit?
I just felt that wave.
My hands are sweating.
Now we trust that you are comfortable.
Yes, we are, Chris, and I want to thank you. Wes and myself would like to thank you for joining us once again on Contact, where it's always exciting and eye-opening and mind-opening to speak with you and hear your observations. So thank you so much.
Indeed, and we thank you both for two things, your consideration, as well as your most beautiful rendition of Mackenzie Brothers intro.
No problem, eh?
Thank you, Chris. And thank you for bringing up the point that we sometimes miss, that evolved entities or entities that aren't necessarily physical can have wonderful senses of humor.
Indeed, and very dear friend in from California has always pointed out a most beautiful Zen saying is that before enlightenment, you chop wood and carry water, And after enlightenment, you chop wood and carry water. Because you have to deal with the necessities.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes, yes indeed. Yes indeed we do. And the necessities may change, but there are always going to be necessities in any type of consciousness, I think.
Indeed.
Yes. So, Chris, today we are very, very blessed because Ellen, that wonderful spirit, Ellen, has provided some questions that she and I believe the other members of the Chris Dream Group had wanted to ask you that are perhaps moving in a more forward direction from some of the more I suppose predictable questions that you have been asked over these many years. And the first one that I have here is a biggie. This is a big question. And so I'll just throw it out there, and we'll hear what you have to say about that. The question is, what is that which we call God, and how does it nourish, support, and encourage us?
Indeed, as you specified, this is a big issue. But before we get into that specifically, the discussion also warrants as to why over the years we have been suggesting that individuals have not necessarily been asking the right questions. And this is entirely understandable, since most individuals can only view their reality, their life, and their experiences from the point of view of being within the context of time and space, not outside of time and space. So though the questions are relevant to their situation, they are only relevant and perceivable through a very small slice of the entire context of reality, which includes many different aspects, multiple lives, multidimensional experiences, and so on and so forth. For example, Wes has a propensity for contact.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Now, you may yourself wish to investigate under hypnosis, perhaps. There is an aspect of your persona that we will call it Ratira as a name, that facilitates these otherworldly contexts and experiences. So it is a personogram that facilitates otherworldly communications. And you may wish to explore that more in depth through various processes that you are familiar with. It is simply a little doggy bone thrown your way.
This is a big doggy bone. Thank you very much. Leslie and I will investigate this. This is important.
Now, as to the question itself, that which you call God is your collective impression of what you are. And over the millennia, humankind has externalized or objectified this particular deep spiritual aspect of every creature into what you now perceive as religious indoctrinations, religious belief systems. And you cannot get away from religious belief systems. But you can learn to understand that this is your connection with the ancient Sanskrit word is akila, meaning all that is. The essence of all that is permeates every atom, every molecule, every quantum. It is that God or divine force that expresses itself even in the tips of your hair, in the tips of your eyebrows, your nose, your eyes, the tips of your toes, the sofa you are sitting on, the wall, the mirror, the mirror frame, even your thought particles. Your thoughts are also made up of specific types of quantum particles. That divine principle or divine force permeates everything, and it is what you are made up of, not in the godlike concepts externalized by your religions, but it is the principle upon which the very ground of your being is rooted. This is your foundation. It is from that psychological and spiritual soil the seeds of your being take root and grow and produce fruit. The fruits of your experiences are the realities that you then express. So it is all around and within and part of you in ways that you have forgotten. That is why it is still part of and will always be part of your collective experiences, even in other worlds.
Fascinating. So our connection is a completely natural and organic one. This idea of separation from perhaps an anthropomorphic God that requires intercession, or these are constructs of the third density and have nothing to do.
Indeed, the very idea that an deity requires sacrifice, requires oblations, requires obedience, and set up divisive rules is Machiavellian. It is truly an antique relic from cultures of the past that had no other means, especially after many great devastations that your civilizations and your race have endured, cataclysms of almost near annihilation, meteoric strikes, volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, ice ages that are often unimaginable to your present societies. So this, it is even more than organic. It is the makeup of your being. But you are forbidden from thinking along those lines by those who rule.
I see. So this is part of this, for lack of a better term, God spell that we have. This is old stuff, old behaviors that were utilized by perhaps a controlling group of beings who wanted to keep humanity in a subservient position. So we're resonating with really old stuff that has no application.
And at some points in your history, many points in your history, these ideas were extremely important in order to rally around common goals, a common core, if you like, of belief systems to create a cohesiveness. Your race has at many different times, after world cataclysms, fallen into almost animalistic tendencies, even eating each other for survival. By establishing this kind of rules and externalized, objectified God symbols, mm-hmm. people could rally and create a different choice.
I see. So really a more, one must look at these behaviors in the context of our prehistory, our long history of there being chaos and order having to be created out of chaos, essentially. Like the bug. Okay.
To insist that such a deity, regardless of the proclivities and the religious indoctrinations, to insist that such a deity never changes while this or her entire creation is always in a state of evolution, mm-hmm. is in itself very limiting. To keep and maintain that principles established thousands of years in your past must still be applied today, even to your own detriment, while everything around you and even you change. Even you grow and become more than what you were yesterday. Strikes even against the very logic of the cellular structures of your being.
Indeed, indeed. Chris, is there karma in the sense of an exchange of energy? Do we give back to the creative force somehow? Or is there an exchange of energy? And how does that work?
Indeed. Such exchanges are naturally occurring and consistently engaged in. It is what nurtures your, not only your species, all species and expressions of life, and the array of variegatedness displayed in your present realities is very small when you take into consideration the almost limitless worlds and planets and galaxies and solar systems and even universes that exist in the whole of creation. So that process wherein the energies are exchanged and thereby provide nurturing is the creative principle within yourselves. All the things that you create as a species, including your civilizations, your creative arts, your politics, your governments, your manufacturing, even your capitalism. All of these expressions are ongoing processes and they change. They have always changed. They will continue to change. It is a sea of movement, a sea of activity. It never stays the same. Even you can understand that at one point you have a little 5-year-old body, and you had a 20-year-old body, and you had a 30-year-old body. We will not go further.
Thank you.
So your own forms are in a constant state of change. Even your personalities, what you identify with as yourselves, has always grown and changed. Everything grows and changes. The seasons, all of life. That is the beautiful nature of that kind of an exchange. So it subsists and persists in nurturing you, whether you believe it or not.
Interesting. Fascinating. And why are individuals sometimes, oft times in the third density, so resistant to change, Chris?
Indeed. Change has often been brought to your species and civilizations at a very dear cost. Again, taking into consideration various cataclysms, ice ages, meteoric strikes, volcanic eruptions that have completely disrupted and nearly destroyed everything. So change is considered a threat. But not only change, but what will the future bring? What will tomorrow bring? Is also considered tantamount to a threat, because one does not know specifically, or at least that is the nature of what you have been told to believe. But a simple observation into how you have always modified and altered your realities can give you a great deal of inspiration, because it is the very nature of all that is. Change and transformation. Anything that remains static eventually withers, dries, and decays.
Okay.
Chris, our friend Alan has asked many good questions, as you can see, and we hope this works for you as well. And there's another one, and it strikes at the core of how some of us feel. I know I do, and I'm sure Leslie does as well. Is there a purpose? And if there is, what is the purpose of things like our thoughts, our feelings, our intuitions, our imagination?
and did. Again, and the most insightful and perceptive inquiry. So there are various schools of thought that indicate that thoughts and feelings, ideas, and so on and so forth, are perhaps best managed under a tight control. There are other schools of thought that insist that one must be entirely free and open. And yet, none of these truly bring a recognition of what these things are. Some people believe that the feelings, emotions, are in themselves curiosities best avoided. And yet these particular, how would we call them? They are affectations of your simple human nature. They present themselves through you as impressions that can lead you under a most careful and nurturing energy to evaluate and reevaluate the very nature of your existence. So you have thoughts and feelings. They indicate, in some ways, that communication from your greater than yourself self. These are the methods of communication, and they are often eschewed in favor of an intellectual, rational, and even logical perspective on life, without necessarily recognizing that these three are directly related to your imagination, to your feeling nature, to your emotional nature. And without these last three, the previous three, logic, intellect, rationality, may indeed, by themselves, wither on the branch without the deep juices of consciousness flowing through your emotions, your feelings, your imagination. Does it make sense to you?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
It does indeed. And Chris, is it possible for a being experiencing a physical life, you know, in the third density, if you will, to become addicted to emotions in a sense, to become obsessed or completely inveigled by the chemicals that can be released by emotions, and if this is the case, is it part of the maturation process or the evolution of our spirit even to become less concerned or involved or excited by biochemical emotional reactions?
In so many ways and in a very zen-like manner, yes. There are varying degrees of experiences along such lines. There are many individuals, for instance, who are addicted not to love, but the feeling of love. So they perpetually seek to fall in love with anything, everything, and anyone. Mm-hmm. And there are the other extremes where you have individuals that become addicted to substance abuse, because this also provides a certain type of emotional and feeling release, even though they may not perceive that there is also a destructive aspect to this. But overall, the very foundation of the human experience, and this does not limit itself to human beings, but even your domesticated creatures all thrive on the basis of an emotional interaction, mm-hmm. because it releases the necessary chemicals that keep you fascinated, entranced, and titillated with experience. Mm-hmm. Now, there are those who are able to view any emotional feeling tones from a different perspective. Not only to be swept away by them, but to be able to observe them. So they've become a little less affected and are able to prevent themselves from passing judgment, because those who may be very addicted to experience may tend to qualify experiences as negative and positive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But in reality, they are merely flow-throughs of great energy reserves. That is your human interpretation of these emotional contexts. Mm-hmm. And in the context of the human experience, you can enrich your lives that much more by being able to observe what flows through you without being swept away by floods of emotions.
Indeed, indeed. And Chris, I think you, I know that you are aware that some of the work that, that Wes and I do together involves working with individuals who have regular contact with beings that are perceived as extraterrestrial or ultra-terrestrial. And it also seems in, you know, the research that's ongoing that some physical beings who enter our reality are have lost either the ability to function emotionally, or perhaps they have not ever achieved that, and they're fascinated with our emotional, shall I say, our emotional retinue, all of these tools that we have to experience life with, as you just discussed. Are human beings, Terran human beings, Earth beings, are we unique in the universe in the sense that we do have this emotional vocabulary and this wheel of karma, if you will?
Your specific plane of existence indeed provides for experiences not necessarily available elsewhere. But there are other planes, you could say adjacent to yours, parallel to yours, where emotional intensities are greatly magnified, and others are less still. And within those, the human being, the human species, as you know yourselves, does tend to travel in dream states in order to seek balance and harmony. Some are even experienced through lucid dreams, where the individual may even remember levels of emotional intensities that are far stronger than what they are accustomed to. So the imagery is represented accordingly in great displays of light, great displays of fields of love and interaction, well beyond the norm in everyday human waking experience. But your field does present a unique perspective on the creative aspects. Mm. Imagine, if you will, for a moment, any member of the group of seven and their own creative talents, or even any great artist in the world, Gauguin, so many others, and what they expressed through their art were very often perceptions obtained through aspects of their personas that were outside the normal field of human experience, translated through their personalities in ways to convey or communicate much deeper perceptions. But it is not always perceived as such.
Mm-hmm. Chris, is there another way to do it without art or words or music? Is there a more direct path to share?
These are on the higher end of your own artistic expressions. But even the everyday act of dressing one's child, feeding one's child, or even creating a child, these are also artful expressions. Mm-hmm. But they are often passed off as simple human actions. But they are also very artfully related. Even the creation of your rising sun, what you look out at in the morning, or the setting sun, Your perception creates an art field unlike any other. Even though the two of you may see the same, your feelings about that sunset or sunrise will be unique. Mm-hmm. That is also art. But you have within you different aspects, different psychological constructs. You utilize only a small spectrum of your perceptive abilities as the human experiences follow suit. You can tap into that much more. Autosuggestion, self-hypnosis, mm-hmm. other such tools can be utilized to open previously closed doors into the secret gardens of life, mm-hmm. where you may see like Alice falling through the looking glass and falling through the rabbit hole. Other perceptions of reality unimagined by yourselves. But it is all in the mind. The keys is the mind. And a more disciplined mind does provide more opportunities because it is less prone to distractions and can follow suit. Does that make sense to you?
That does. That makes perfect sense. And also, I love the idea that you're infusing with creative responsibility. Every morning we have, every new day, we have a myriad of choices, possible realities. And people's perception, I think, as you sort of touched on, is what can put a ceiling in place or put them in a box, if you will. But there are, in fact, endless expressions. Endless possibilities.
And many people even speak of trying to think outside the box. They end up simply being in another kind of box.
Yeah.
Now, in reality, if you could dispense with the notion of boxes entirely and see the self as the creative bridge to so much more of existence, then your expressions of freedom, your expressions of peace, which completely nullify your fears which lead you to war. The path to peace is not to enforce nor to fight, but the path to peace is love. As your hippies were so happy to say, and they were right. But they often accepted to drink the same Kool-Aid.
Yeah, indeed. Why, Chris, are some individuals, why do some individuals find it so much easier to collaborate in creative projects? And some individuals really are not as able to do that and are creative in a solo, sort of isolated way.
There are, of course, many different personality types. Many individuals travel together, perhaps like tourists on a bus, each enjoying taking myriads of pictures of the same thing so they can share them later on. And there are other individuals who prefer to travel by themselves, perhaps hiking, cycling, or their own vehicle. But whatever the mode of transportation and whatever the connection, these are appearances only. Because at other levels, your dream states and even your telepathic communications, you all corroborate.
Uh-huh.
You all collaborate and you all decide what might be best suited for me, for you, for them. Mm-hmm. So it eventually boils down to individual preference.
Yes. But creative isolation is not an accurate depiction of what's actually going on.
Indeed.
Ah.
Because they are still connected to a little universe of ideas that flow through them all the time.
Yes.
So they pick and choose those ideas best suited to their personality structure.
In the particular lifetime that they are experiencing.
Indeed. Yeah. And in other lifetimes, they might feel it is best for their own personality to go on the tourist bus.
Yes.
As opposed to by themselves.
And I would posit that depending on your creative expression, for instance, if you are a playwright and you want to reach people who are experiencing loneliness, there might be an advantage to having that emotional experience yourself on some level so that you can more deeply communicate.
Indeed. And in that way, you often yourselves find that this attempt creates a group, which might initially have been avoided, but now you are a group experiencing similar views.
Yes. Yes. Fascinating. Chris, I have one final question here from Ellen, but it's a doozy, so I'm just going to read it in her exact words, or the words that she channeled from source, or however you wish to interpret this. But the final question from Ellen and the Chris Dream Group is, and finally, how do we make the best use of the communication/connection between what we think of as ourselves and those realms of self that seemingly exist outside of us?
Indeed. Firstly, we humbly suggest that one actually make a good study of one's life, and first and foremost realize that their ideas about themselves, their ideas of self, are often the result of a collective indoctrination, conditioning. And first and foremost, the realization that you are not your body, but that you are the individual, the person, the self within that body, and that you are eternal, and that you are full of joy and full of wisdom/knowledge, Sophia. This actually goes a long way towards assisting and revealing other realms of experience. Because once you realize that you're not your body, and that you have likely had multiple bodies in multiple time spaces simultaneously, then you begin to realize that the self is more than the sum of all of its parts, is a gestalt. And that you do not necessarily become better, but you become more. You simply become more of whom and what you are. This also goes a long way to dissipate any fears that you have sown, that you have accepted, and dispensing with such fears actually frees up the consciousness. It is no longer having to be weighed down in that way, and different species of freedom, the freedom of self, to explore other realms, other realities, other connections, knowing that you are never alone. Do you remember that phrase, you are not alone?
Yes, I do. Yes,
indeed.
I
do. You are not alone, even though your eyes may tell you differently. It is simply impossible to be alone. Even in your thoughts, you are not alone. You are always conversing with someone. You may think you are conversing with someone from your past. You may think you are conversing with those still inner voices in your mind. Where do they come from? Your own body is not alone. There are myriads of consciousnesses flowing in and out of the cellular structures, the molecules, they are all soul. They are all that is. So you cannot be alone. But through the wonderful construction of the human personality, you have chosen in part to appear as if you are alone, separate from source, though you are not. So applying such simple understandings and seeking to push your envelope, even to dispense with the envelope, dispense with the box, you will recognize that you have at your disposal an entire universe of connection. It appears through the lovely thoughts, the lovely feelings, the lovely emotions that stem from the heart. And this idea that you must battle between the thoughts in your mind and the feelings in your heart is entirely man-made. They can work together. That opens up yet another door to all those lovely gardens of discovery. Does that make sense to you?
It does, Chris. And what a beautiful and a reassuring and comforting thoughts and series of thoughts that you've just expounded upon. So we thank you so much. And we thank Ellen, of course, for her wonderful questions that have led to this great talk. And Chris, thank you for taking your time to join us, to speak to the people who need to hear this message, wherever they may be. I know they will tune in. And we look forward to our next interaction. So every blessing to you, Chris, and so many thanks.
Indeed. And may you continue experiencing all those blessings in a continuous manner.
Thank you.
How are you?
Oh, Serge, you're back. Boy, did we have an incredible chat with Chris. He was please convey to Ellen our great thanks. These questions were insightful, and I heard a bulk of information that we had not explored previously, at least on our show. So we thank you for that. And if you could tell us, Serge, now I know that your book is now available in a different from a different purchase point, and also if folks listening to the show this evening would like to interact on Facebook, does the Chris Dream Book have a Facebook page?
Yeah. Another friend of mine has just gone and edited the physical book and turned it into a PDF ebook. So it's available. I can download it within hours or within the day to whoever purchases it. And on Facebook, we have, it's called the Lotus Mind, the-lotus-mind, mm-hmm. Where we post quotes from Chris and different events and things like that. And we have a few different Chris groups that are in there. So people can join in. And what is also very nice is that often people send us questions through the Facebook, mm-hmm. that we can answer, which is very nice as well. Chris loves to chat, as you've been able to see. He chats, yes, more than my grandmother.
Well, that's wonderful. And how often do you meet in person with your dream group here in Toronto, Serge?
Actually, we do it online. We meet through
Skype.
Oh, wonderful.
And, yeah. And how can someone become involved in that?
They can go to our website, which is lotus-mind.ca. And we're also starting a new seminar on November 30th for 8 weeks. We'll take a break for Christmas. And that is called The Human Journey, The Spiritual Journey, and The Eternal Story of Self, or How Transforming Your World Through Dreamtime and Ancient Other Dimensional Wisdom.
Oh, boy. Well, that sounds incredible. I'm sure that's going to be completely mind-opening. And what a great time of the year to do it, just before the winter equinox, so people are ready to face the face the new solar year with renewed insight and vigor and joy. So that is fantastic. Well, Serge, I just want to thank you again. We have a couple of minutes to go here, but I think Wes and I are just going to chat for a moment. But we're going to let you get on with your third density activities. And you know where I will be seeing you in the hood before long.
Yeah. And also want to thank you very, very much for having made the time to do this particular discussion. It's very much appreciated.
Our pleasure, Serge, as always. So you take good care, and we will have you on again soon on contact. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Serge Grandpa. Bye-bye now. Well, thank you so much, Wes, for participating in that incredible chat with our friend Serge Grambois and the amazing entity Chris. That was really insightful, wasn't it?
That was a great show, and unexpectedly, I think, to both of us, because we're both looking at each other, Chris mentioned something for my benefit specifically.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to have to go back and listen to the recording, because I'd never even heard the term before.
Yeah.
But Chris said he was throwing me a little bone, and I think, no, this is quite a large deal, because what he suggested was there was an intermediary between myself and probably all of us, but in this case, between myself and someone who we refer to as my twin.
Mm-hmm. A entity or being that helps specifically with ultra and extraterrestrial communication, kind of in a way like a spirit guide.
Like a guide, and I thought of that too, but I just had not heard the term, and recently I've been writing about and thinking about my guide, so the timing is kind of fascinating, you know?
It is.
Synchronistic.
Well, you know, there are no accidents. There is no such thing as propinquity. We have what we have is quantum entanglement. So we're going to explore that further. And I also, we had such a fascinating chat with Chris and with Serge that I wasn't able to thank our sponsors at the head of the program. So we're just going to do that now very quickly. Firstly, we would like to thank James Borg and the UFOria Organization and UFOria Chronicles. Thank you for your tireless support, and that, of course, includes all our friends in UFOria, Carl Dory and Isabel Marie and Charlie Kundalini and all of those good people. So UFOria, UFOria Chronicles, and James Borg, thank you. You can reach UFOria Chronicles right on Facebook. That's the best thing to do. And we would also like to thank Variety Store Productions and Mr. Greg Summer, and that is a full-service production house, whether it's pre, post, or during. Greg Summer is your man, VarietyStoreProductions.com. We would also like to thank Conspiracy Culture, which is not just a bookstore. It's an incredible resource, and also Patrick White and his lovely wife, Kadina, promote some prestigious talking series. And coming up, I should add right now, coming up through Conspiracy Culture on December 13th, the noted renegade archaeologist, Mr. Graham Hancock, is going to be appearing in a two-hour lecture at the Bloor Street Cinema here in Toronto from noon to 2 p.m. on the 13th of December. You can get your tickets through conspiracyculture.com, or you can go to their actual store location. Do not miss it. Graham Hancock is rarely here. He's British. He doesn't get over here to the continent all that often, so do join us for that, Conspiracy Culture. We would also like to thank the Canadian Hypnosis Conference coming up in 2016. We would like to thank Alien Cosmic Expo, also coming up in 2016. And we would also like to thank Earth Mystery News, earthmysterynews.com, brand new broadcast platform. We'll be talking more about that later. And coming up over the next couple weeks, next week, what have we got on tap for our listeners?
Well, next week we're kind of unavailable to be here live, especially myself, so we're going to have a rebroadcast, an encore presentation, featuring a person that changed people's lives. And certainly at ACE 2015, the Expo at 2015, he did. And he just shocked the house in a very good way and engaged everyone. And that would be Grant Cameron. So we hope to re-air a broadcast of Grant Cameron.
And that will be on the 15th of November. Now on November 22nd, that's 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to be welcoming to contact for the first time multiple Emmy Award winner, director, and producer, Mr. Sid Goldberg. Now, Sid, among other things, is getting ready to launch a remarkable new media platform that will embrace all kinds of arcane and metaphysical subject matters, and it's called Earth Mystery News. And so we will be announcing the launch very shortly, which is going to happen before the holidays, as I understand. So we'll be talking with Sid on the 22nd of November. We'll be talking about what has incited him to create this wonderful platform and his own personal story. So that's what we have coming up. So I think that's about all of our business tonight. And folks, thank you again for joining us on Contact. Remember, we are here every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or Eastern Daylight Time, as the case may be. And also remember, we are not alone. Good night, Wes.
Good night, Leslie.